Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have called us to be a house of prayer, Father. In our individual capacities as a body of Christ, Lord, we are always fundamentally, O God, a house of prayer. A house of prayer for the nations, Father. And we need to understand that calling and we need to manifest that calling, Father. Because we realize, O God, that prayer is something that is so powerful. It is the means by which, O God, we can unveil your will and your purpose into the affairs of men, Father. We can, by the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, touch the past, the present, and the future, Lord. We can truly, O God, proclaim the glory of the living God. We can truly proclaim the word that you are watching over to perform it, Father. We can truly manifest, O God, the name of Jesus, knowing that everything that unveils in the name of Jesus, it will be accomplished, it will be done, it will be completed, it will be fulfilled, Father. And so, Father, as you train us, O God, to pray in and by and through the name of Jesus, as you train us to pray by the Holy Spirit, as you train us, O God, to pray in your word, as you train us to pray in the witness of blood, water, and spirit, as you train us to do all things, Father, as a body in the Lord Jesus Christ, Father. We pray today, Father, that you will teach us to pray for the church, Father. Because everything that affects mankind, O God, is going to manifest through the body of Christ, Father. For the fullness of Jesus Christ can only come forth from his body, Father. It has to be proclaimed by his body. It has to be manifested by his body. And the church is by definition the body of Christ, Father. We are only the church when we are functioning as the body of Christ. We are only a church when we are a temple of the living God. We are only a church, Father, when we are proclaiming the name of Jesus by the Holy Spirit, Father. The church is not a building, Father. It is a living reality, O God, a living body, Father, in the fullness of Jesus Christ. And each one of us are members of that body. Members by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. Members, O God, in the witness of blood, water, and spirit, Father. So, Father God, open your word to us today, Father. And manifest into us, O God, the reality of being part and parcel of the body of Christ. And if we are part and parcel of the body of Christ, then, Father, we should be praying for the body of Christ. Father, because as the body of Christ is blessed, we will be blessed. As the body of Christ is blessed, we will be blessed in our families. We will be blessed in our extended families, Father. As you truly, O God, mature us, O God, as the body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places, Father, we pray that the glory of the risen Christ, the glory of the bright morning star, will be manifested through each and every one of us, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one of our favorite passages, or my favorite passages, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23. Today we're going to talk about praying for the church. Why is it important to pray for the church? Because everything that God is going to do, he's going to manifest it through this body called the body of Christ. And we are a very important part of God's plan. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. And this is one of the verses that give us, right, an understanding of how important the body of Christ is. And it says here that he, that is the Father, put all things in subjection under his feet, the feet of Jesus, and gave him as head over all things to the church. Now Jesus is the head of all things through the church. The church is supposed to manifest the fact that Jesus Christ is the head of all things. So what is the church? Verse 23. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So the church is the body of Christ, and we are only the body of Christ. We are only the church when we are the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is simply the fullness of him. And the body of Christ is charged with manifesting the fullness of him who will fill all in all. So we are the body of Christ in the fullness of Jesus Christ. How much of a body we are depends on the fullness of Jesus Christ that we carry. We all know we have a witness inside of us. That witness of blood, water, and spirit was given to us through the cross. And the moment we were born again, that witness was birthed within us. And when we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that witness that makes us alive to God is then open to become fully functional, so that we can do things by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. We can do things by the Spirit in Jesus' name through the witness that He gave us through the cross. And the body of Christ has this witness. The body of Christ is charged with manifesting this witness, because through this witness, the fullness of Jesus Christ will be released. Whether we preach the word, whether we do good deeds, whether we pray, whether we worship, whether we teach, whether we counsel, how we work, in all of these things, God wants us to manifest the witness of Jesus Christ, the witness of the cross. And the witness of the cross is the means by which God will communicate the fullness of Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit. So we want to pray for the church. And what do we do when we pray for the church? Do we pray for all the flaws in the church? Or do we pray for what the church should be in Jesus Christ? If we look at the flaws in the church, and we have many flaws, no matter which denomination we come from, we have many flaws. There are so many things that we practice that are just man-made things. And we need to know that there are many flaws. But how do we pray for the church? Do we pray for the flaws? Or do we pray for God's word to be manifested in the church? I think we should pray for God's word to be manifested in the church. Because I think if you focus on the flaws, you will be overcome with the darkness. And it's very important we understand this very fundamentally. That when we pray, we must pray in the light. We must pray in the light of God's word. We must pray in the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must pray in and by and through the name of Jesus. We must pray in the truth that will set the captives free. That doesn't mean we just overlook the weaknesses in the church. But what do we pray? We should pray for repentance instead of meditating on darkness. We must pray for a change of heart, for a change of the processes of thought within the church. We need to pray that the body of Christ will be a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to pray that the body of Christ will function as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as members of the body of the Lord Jesus, as members of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to pray these things, right? We need to understand these things, and we need to manifest it. Now, this body of Christ is a body that is a priesthood. And when we pray for the church, we must always understand that we are fundamentally a priesthood. And we must pray for that priesthood to manifest. What is so important about this idea of a priesthood? A priest worships God. A priest ministers to God. A priest ministers God's purposes. A priest does not serve an organization. A priest does not serve himself. A priest serves the Lord his God. And that's very fundamental to what the church should be. The whole body of Christ should be loyal to God. The whole body of Christ should be serving the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole body of Christ should be making sure and being responsible that the name of Jesus is glorified and not the names of human beings being glorified. It is the responsibility of every believer. It is the responsibility of every member of the body of Christ to make sure that in the church, the name of Jesus is glorified. Now, the Greek word for church is ecclesia. All right? Ecclesia. All right? So when we mention the word church, we are always meaning this Greek word ecclesia. And we are saying that the Greek word ecclesia is defined as the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is a temple. And the body of Christ is made up of priests. And within the temple of our bodies, we are a priesthood. And we are required to function in this priesthood. And so one of the functions of the priesthood is to pray. And what fundamental thing to pray for than for the body of Christ? That it will be the body of Christ and not be the body of somebody else. Right? That it will not be the body of Moses or the body of Paul or the body of Peter or the body of John or of the body of Elijah, but the body of Christ. I'm using all those names deliberately, right? Because in many forms, the church has become the body of somebody living. Or some great man of God. That instead of serving the Lord Jesus Christ and adoring Him, we put men on the pedestal. Now, they may have genuinely been great men of God, but the body of Christ is meant to proclaim the name of Jesus. The body of Christ is called to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not here to glorify each other. We are here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the body of Christ glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus said, I will draw all men to me. And that's what is so important when you pray for the church. That you pray for the church, that the wrong spirit that sometimes moves in different parts of the church will be broken. Right? You take authority and you manifest the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is this authority? That the body of Christ belongs to Him. It is His body. He paid the price for it. It belongs to Him. It must be entirely 100% subject to His will. It must be entirely 100% subject to the person of the Holy Spirit. It must be 100% subject to the will of the Father. The body of Christ is not for us to do our own thing. The body of Christ is for us to serve God, for us to proclaim the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so each and every day, we must find some time when we pray that the body of Christ will be all that God wants it to be. That the members of the body of Christ will realize their responsibility to be priests of God. That each member of the body of Christ will understand that you and I are called to be a temple of God. Our bodies are the temple of God. And within us the Holy Spirit dwells. We are a priesthood who function from an altar built through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. The moment you were born again, that altar was manifested within you. And that altar is manifested in you in a living witness of blood, water, and spirit. Now the substance of that witness grows as Jesus Christ grows in you. So the last three words in John 17 verse 26, Jesus prays before He goes to the cross, I in them. It's very important to understand, I in them is the basis on which the church stands. It is the reality in which we are a body. We are the body of Christ. And He went to the cross so that He can manifest Himself through each one of us. So while Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, He is alive in us. And we must understand that as members of the body, we are each a part of each other. That the well-being of every member of the body of Christ is the responsibility of the other body of Christ. So how are we responsible for the body of Christ? We can only be responsible for the body of Christ as we pray for it. And we must pray prayers that are in accordance with the Word of God. Not prayers that are in accordance with our emotions. The body of Christ is not going to be built based on what you and I think is right. The body of Christ is going to be built in the person of the living Christ. It's going to be built in the name of Jesus. It is going to be built by the Holy Spirit. It's going to be put together in the Father's will. And we must understand it. Now we all have perceptions that this is not right and that is not right. Some of our perceptions are right. Some of our perceptions are half right. Other parts of our perceptions are even wrong. Why do I say that? Because for a right perception, we must be manifested in the purity of love. Why God's thoughts are superior to ours is because everything God thinks is in love and righteousness and truth. God doesn't tell a lie. God doesn't play favorites. God doesn't do what He likes. God does what is right. Right? God doesn't function by His emotions. He does what is right. Right? And we need to understand that. So when we pray for the body of Christ, we must make sure that we don't pray with our own particular agendas, our own particular prejudices, our own particular ideas of what is right and wrong. This is why it is important to pray the word of God in the name of Jesus, so that the body of Christ, no matter which part of the body it is, whether we are talking about the Orthodox Church, the Catholic Church, the Protestant Church, and whatever myriad of denominations that we have managed to manifest over the last 2,000 years, when we pray for the body, we pray for one body. We pray for a body that belongs to God. And the body of Christ must belong to God. And we must pray for this sense of belonging to come alive within each and every member of the body of Christ. And we must pray for that sense of responsibility, that sense of conviction to come into the church by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. That the spirit of disobedience will be broken, that the spirit of pride will be broken, that the spirit of arrogance will be broken, that the spirit of falsehood will be broken, that the pursuit of men-pleasing ways will be broken in the body of Christ, that we will choose to glorify God, we will choose to exalt God, we will choose to best bless God. And these things are not going to happen by chance. Everything is manifested by the Spirit. We must understand that all power belongs to God. All authority stands in God's name. And so, we must become conduits for God's will, conduits for God's name, conduits for God's intentions, conduits for God's purposes. We must become the true body of Christ, manifesting the words that God wants to unveil. If He is going to correct the body of Christ, let Him correct it His way, not our way, not your way, not my way. Let Him do it His way, let Him do it in His time. While we can pray correction into the body of Christ, the details of the correction, that is the business of God. The plan of correction, that is the business of God. How He will manifest it, that is the business of God. But should we pray correction? Yes, we should pray correction. But we should pray correction by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. We should pray correction in the righteousness of the Lord. We should pray correction so that the name of Jesus will be the name that stands over the body of Christ. And there will be no other name that will stand as an intermediary except the name of the Lord. And that's what has happened in the church. We have all, either consciously, subconsciously, or unconsciously, manifested many different intermediaries between God and man. There is only one intermediary between God and man, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He must have His preeminent place. His fullness is to fill all in all. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23 is saying. His fullness is meant to fill all in all. And that's the responsibility of the body of Christ. We must pray for the light of His life to manifest into the body of Christ. We must pray for strongholds of darkness, strongholds of pride, strongholds of religious zeal to be broken. We should pray for the truth to be released. And the truth can only be released in the name of Jesus. The truth can only be released in the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we must be concerned about releasing the preeminence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be concerned about releasing the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? So we need to understand that. Now, one of the very fundamental things of the body of Christ, that it is a temple. It is a temple that must worship God. So pray that the body of Christ will worship God. Pray that the body of Christ will be a body of people who will bow before God, who will seek to manifest a life that will truly glorify God. Right? So often in the Christian church we manifest things that are of the intelligence of man. And we need to understand that it's not going to be your intelligence and my intelligence that changes the world. It is going to be the fullness of Jesus Christ. And we must pray for that revelation to hit the church, hit the leadership of the church. Leadership All right, to hit every member of the body of Christ, that they will understand instinctively that what is wrong with the church today is that we are not manifesting the fullness of Jesus Christ. We are doing a lot of things, we have a lot of activities, we have a lot of programs, we are very busy. But in how much of what we do is the Lord Jesus Christ manifested? That's the crucial thing, right? And we need to pray that into being, right? Knowing that God is watching over His word to perform it. It's very important to understand that. God is not watching over our emotions to perform it. God is not watching over our ideas of right and wrong to perform it. God is watching over His word to perform it. And God will perform His word, but is the body of Christ praying the word of God? Last week we talked about the word of Christ. The previous week we talked about praying in the name of Jesus. Now we need to understand that everything that we are talking about is being able to manifest prayer in the fullness of Jesus Christ, giving expression to the Lord Jesus Christ through our prayer. Right? Not giving expression to our ideas or our emotions or our thoughts of what is right and wrong, but manifesting what the Holy Spirit brings alive in us. So we have a responsibility and we must cultivate that responsibility. Right? And one of the ways in which we become responsible members of the body of Christ is that we learn to pray for the body of Christ. Right? And we must pray for the body of Christ because the well-being of the body of Christ will affect each and every one of us. If you look at yourself as a body, just imagine if you lost an arm, what would you be like? What if you lost an eye? What if you lost two eyes? What if you lost your brain? What would you be like? Right? What if God removed your two kidneys? What happens then? Right? So you must understand that the strength of the body of Christ is as a body. And every part of the body is playing a part. We may not be doing a great job of it, but fundamentally, God is still at work in every part of the body of Christ. And we must make sure that God will not pluck out the lampstand that represents each and every part of the body of Christ in the different countries and the different cities of the world. Right? So we need to pray, and we must pray that the Holy Spirit will move and manifest the name of Jesus. We will pray that we will bind the spirit of falsehood, bind the spirit of the intellect of man, because so much of what is taught in the Christian church today is not of the spirit, it is of the intellect of man. It sounds intelligent, but it's lifeless. And what we need is the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need revelation knowledge. And we must pray that revelation knowledge captivates the hearts of the body of Christ. All these things we must pray. Because for something to be birthed in the natural, for something to be manifested in the church, it must be prayed through first. It must be described in our prayer. It must be manifested in the intentions of our heart. Right? And then God will work it in. Right? So it's very important for us to understand this. Right? Okay? Because the body of Christ is very important for one very simple reason. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Verse 16. And it says here that the Father would grant you, He would grant you, He being there, the Father, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And this is why the body of Christ is so important. Because the body of Christ is designed to be filled with all the fullness of God. All the fullness of God. And this is very important. And you must understand that the spiritual warfare that is being conducted in the church, against the church, is to make us walk away from that. Is to bring into us thoughts that all that is impractical. That coming alive to the fullness of Jesus Christ is something that will come in heaven. It's not practical on planet Earth. That being filled to all the fullness of God is something not practical for us on planet Earth. But something that is going to be manifested to us when we go to heaven. And that has been part and parcel of the thinking that has permeated us in conscious and subconscious terms, even in unconscious terms. That we think that many things in the Bible are meant for to be written in heaven. If it was meant to be written and manifested in heaven, it wouldn't have been written on earth. Everything in the Word of God is meant for us to discover and understand. It is meant for us to know and receive. So the body of Christ is fundamentally designed to manifest the fullness of God. And we need to understand that, and we need to pray that. We need to pray that the leadership of the church is holy unto God. That means that they will serve God and not the church. I hope you understand the difference between God and the church. That we will serve God and not the church. Because the moment we start thinking in terms of something subordinate, we all end up doing our own agendas. We all end up doing what we want to do. We all end up doing what an organization wants done. And we're not doing what God wants us to do. And the leadership of the church, when you pray for them, they must understand that we are not going to make any headway against the powers of darkness if we keep out doing things that are according to our own intelligence, according to what we think is right. That we have to understand that if we are going to break through the darkness that is sweeping the world, and it is sweeping the world, then we have to raise the standard of the cross. And the standard of the cross is not man-made theology. The standard of the cross is a witness of blood, water, and spirit released from our hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. That we have the responsibility of discovering this witness and unveiling this witness by the Holy Spirit. Because this is the only standard by which we can stop the enemy. This is the only standard by which the victory of Jesus Christ will be manifested. Otherwise, we will continue to be a body torn apart, a body divided, a body in which members don't even trust each other, in which leaders look at each other as enemies rather than as brethren. And all that darkness has to be broken. It has to be broken in prayer. All that darkness that causes divisions. You go to a pastor's meeting and everyone is sizing the other person up. And that's wrong. If pastors cannot look at each other as brothers, boy, do we have a problem. It's like we are a total denial of what Jesus Christ stood for. And all that has to change. And we need to understand that the fundamental battle over the body of Christ is whether we will be a body that will manifest the knowledge of the Lord. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. From verse 3 to verse 5. Verse 6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And I put it to you, brethren, that Satan has manifested fortresses of darknesses within the church. And those fortresses of darknesses have to be pulled down. And they have to be pulled down by us through prayer. What are those fortresses of darkness? Pride, self-righteousness, arrogance, stubbornness, selfishness, self-centeredness, all those things that we pray over our lives. You see, what manifests in the individual is what is manifested in the body. Lust, greed for power, lust for position, lust for our own preeminence to be manifested, for our own recognition. Hate, unforgiveness, hurt, mistrust, no love, no trust. All these are fortresses that Satan has built to divide the church, to stop it from functioning as one body, because he knows when the body of Christ comes together, he is finished. And so it says here that the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And that battle starts in the church. If the church doesn't think the knowledge of God, how can we expect to manifest it in the rest of creation? And the battle is about the knowledge of God. All the lofty things of the intellect of man that have been raised against the knowledge of God. When we bring man-made techniques into the body of Christ, when we bring the Harvard Business School into the body of Christ, and we think that there is something in the world that the world system has produced that the church is lacking, we are missing the whole point. There is nothing of the world that belongs in the church. Absolutely nothing. The body of Christ is to be built in the knowledge of God, and the knowledge of God is not found in the world. It is found at the cross. The body of Christ is to be built in love and in righteousness and in holiness of the truth. It is to be built in the name of Jesus. It is to be built by the Holy Spirit. It is to be an unveiling of the will of God. It is to be an unveiling of the purpose and destiny that God has for each and every member of the body of Christ. The knowledge of God. That's where the fundamental problem is, the knowledge of God. That we are so impressed with our PhDs. It doesn't occur to us that so much of the knowledge we express in writing our theses will not stand when you go and pray for somebody. It is not there. People don't get healed. People don't get set free. Lives are not transformed. Lives are not changed. What knowledge do we possess? The knowledge of God transforms creation. The knowledge of God manifests change. The knowledge of God transforms the human race. If the body of Christ was alive in the knowledge of God, we will be shining with the light of the glory of the risen Christ. Not shining with mediocrity. Today you look at the body of Christ and so much of it is just mediocre nonsense. All man-made gibberish. And we think because we have got large organizations, we have strength. And we don't realize that we are naked. And if God did not cover us, we would be destroyed in a minute. That if not for the mercy of God, there will literally be no church today in the earth. That the sad part of the testimony of the body of Christ is that so few of our members actually seek the face of God. So few of the members of the body of Christ are alive to what God is doing. It is like as if we are blind and we are deaf. So one of the things we need to pray for is that blindness will be removed, that we will be convicted of our sin, that we will be convicted of our rebellion, that we will be convicted of our misrepresentations of the Lord Jesus Christ, our misrepresentations of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, our rejections of God the Holy Spirit. That we, like the Jews before us, are just spewing the letter of the law, and we have missed the substance of the whole revelation. We have missed the spirit of life. We have missed what God is actually saying to His body of Christ. We have missed our sense of destiny. We are more impressed with the things of the world than we are of the things of God. That in the leadership of the church, there are very few leaders who are actually impressed with what God is doing. So it says here, verse 5, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The obedience of Christ begins in the body of Christ. Do we obey Him? That's where the basic problem is. When we do not obey Him, how can we be effective? But we all know that obedience is the work of God in our hearts. That sin has made us a disobedient people. But if Jesus was to be given His rightful place within us, we will learn, we will have a desire to obey Him. Because obedience comes to us in the desire of the heart of Jesus. Because Jesus was the one who manifested true obedience. That's why the truth comes to us in Jesus Christ. It is the Spirit of Jesus that will manifest as the Spirit of obedience. And if we don't receive the Spirit of Christ, if we don't receive the fullness of Jesus Christ, we will never be able to obey God. So we need to pray that there will be obedience to Christ. That we will not look at the Word of God and analyze it with our intellects, but instead bow down at the feet of God and ask Him to teach us this Word. Ask Him to explain the Bible to us. Because all the contradictions arise because of our own understanding. Because Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says, understanding is knowing the Holy One. If you don't know God, you can't understand His Word. That the understanding of the Word of God is built in the knowledge of God. It is not built in how educated we are. It is not built on how intelligent we are. It is not built of how brilliant we are. It is not built on human scholarship. It is built on scholarship by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. It is built in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not built by theology. It is built in actually knowing the Master. It is built in the knowledge on your heart where you actually bow down at His feet and say, "You are my Lord. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And there is no other way. There is no other way in which I can understand the Scriptures except when I open it in your name." That's why Jesus told the Jews, "You search the Scriptures and you refuse to come to me." And that's truth of the church. That's true of the church today. That so many millions of people think that they can study the Bible and discover God without understanding. That they must go first to the Lord so that they can understand what He has said in His Scriptures. Put God first and then He will show you the light. Sit at His feet and wait for Him to open your heart. Wait for Him to transform your mind. Wait for Him to manifest in you the mind of Christ. Wait for Him to manifest in you a heart of flesh. Wait for Him to teach you. It is time for us to learn to understand that we cannot apply our intellect to the things of God, because the things of God are not of the intellect of man. Stephen Hawking just wrote another book, and it's got nothing to do with the knowledge of God. There is no doubt he's a brilliant and a genius of a man. Probably one of the most brilliant men who has ever lived. But he also goes to say that he knows nothing of God too. So you have one side a brilliant man who knows nothing of God. And you realize that if he knows nothing of God, everything that he writes has got no basis for it to stand. Because that which is in God will stand, and that which is not of God, it will not stand. It may sound very intelligent, it may sound very brilliant, but it has got nothing to do with human life. It cannot sustain life, it cannot change life. It cannot be a blessing, it will be a curse. And that's what we must understand. The church, the body of Christ, is supposed to understand these kind of fundamental things. That there are things contained in the Word of God that we barely know anything of. And yet we presume to be scholars of the Scriptures. How can you be a scholar of the Scriptures when you don't know the author? How can you be a scholar of the Scriptures when you do not know and understand the power of God? What scholarship is that that denies the power of God? That is falsehood. And we have to pray for those kind of falsehoods to be broken over the church. Because the body of Christ needs the power of His resurrection. The body of Christ needs the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. They need to hear Him. They need to receive His power. Let's continue with this. Right, verse 5, the last part. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. What does it mean? It means, what does it mean to punish? Right? Through prayer. How do you punish through prayer? Punish through prayer by calling for correction. Calling for correction upon the body of Christ. Calling for correction as God sees fit to bring that correction. Not calling for correction in our anger and in our hurts and in our prejudices, but calling for correction by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Expressing that correction by praying in the Spirit. Hello? Are we making sense here? Right? So there's so much to pray into the body of Christ. Right? And we need to spend that time to pray that the body of Christ will unveil to its destiny. Right? One of the keys for the body of Christ to unveil to its destiny is for the members of the body of Christ to answer the call upon their lives. Right? Let's turn to Ephesians. Chapter 1 again. Verse 17. Now this is one of the key passages of Scripture we need to pray into the church. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to the church a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That the eyes of the heart of our hearts will be opened, will be enlightened, so that we will know what is the hope of His calling. What are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? His inheritance. We are called to discover His inheritance. We are called to manifest it. See, the responsibility for the body of Christ begins with each and every one of us. And of those of us who are in leadership positions, that responsibility is even greater. But that responsibility begins and ends with the revelation of Jesus Christ. If Jesus is not being revealed, nothing is happening in the church. If Jesus is not being revealed, no life is being changed. We may have all the correct doctrinal understandings, but lives are not being changed and people are just practicing churchianity. So it is about the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's about the unveiling of His fullness. And that comes by revelation knowledge. The knowledge that comes from the heart of the Father. The knowledge that cannot come from the intellect of man. And we have to pray that that knowledge will build the church. So that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ is what the church requires. Right? Remember, all spiritual warfare is concerned with the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God comes to us only as Jesus is revealed to us. That's why Jesus said, "You cannot come unto the Father except by me." Right? So we must understand that this verse must be manifested into the body of Christ. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom. Paul wrote this prayer. And we must continue to manifest this prayer by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. We must have a desire. We must have a conviction by the Spirit to understand that Jesus has to be revealed to our hearts and to the hearts of every one of our brethren. That is where the battle really is being fought. The knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Father may give to you. You see, the Father wants to give. We have to pray that the church will receive. We pray that God will transform our hearts. Hello, all change comes from God. If we can save ourselves, Jesus need not have gone to the cross. The simple fact is that all change depends on what God is willing to do. All change depends on what God is able to do. And we are called to understand that. As the body of Christ, we are charged with the responsibility of revealing God, of manifesting the power of His Holy Spirit, of bringing forth the things that God has ordained. And we all have that capacity built into us. It all only needs to be developed. And so we must understand that the church has to have its eyes opened. Verse 18, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. Other translations say the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, put on light. So we must pray that the body of Christ will receive the light of life. We pray that the hardness of our hearts will be broken. So that you may know what is the hope of His calling. So that the body of Christ will have an understanding that we are called by God. We are not called by organizations. We are called by God. And we must know what we are doing in God. So pray that that calling will open in the hearts of believers. Pray. Pray that there will be a spirit of repentance in the church. So that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, instead of going after the things of the world. Hello? Do you know that in the hearts of so many believers, we just want the things of the world? We are not looking for the riches of the glory of our inheritance in Christ Jesus. We are looking for other things. We are thinking that the things of the world will satisfy us. We still haven't learned that the answer to mankind is Jesus alive in our hearts. And we have to pray that. And you need to understand that Jesus as an answer has to be revealed into the heart of man. It cannot be done in human strength. Yet, we are called to be intercessors. We are called to stand in the gap. We are called to love the body of Christ, to pray for its salvation, to pray for its growth. Our Lord Jesus is coming for His bride. And that bride will be intimate with Him. Verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe Him? You see, the result of revelation knowledge is power. The Greek word there is the Greek word dunamis. Resurrection power. The surpassing greatness, not just power, the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe in Him. Surpassing greatness, that means greater than anything else conceived. Surpassing greatness, that which is above everything else, the power of the Lord. And the body of Christ is supposed to recognize that power, know that power, be able to manifest that power. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will bring that power into us with understanding, with conviction, with confidence, with a purity of heart, with correct intentions within us, not crookedness. Hello? There is so much of manipulation and crookedness in the church. And the body of Christ needs honesty and integrity. It needs a leadership that is dedicated to the name of Jesus. Not a leadership dedicated to ministry. Not a leadership dedicated to an organization. But a leadership solely dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Surely we must understand things like that. That only that which stands in the name of Jesus will be honored by the Father. Haven't we read the scriptures? Yet we read and we do not receive. So we have to pray for that enabling power to receive. And that enabling power to receive comes from the cross. Ephesians 3:20 talks about the power that works within us to give us beyond all that we ask or even think. That power that Jesus went to the cross to manifest. That power that is available to the church that we are not walking into. That power that we are not tapping onto. That power that is supposed to give us knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. That is of God Himself. To make us the head and not the tail. If we keep going back to the world and seeking the ways of the world and bring in the methods of the world, how on earth are we going to discover the power of God? So many of our practices are a direct denial of Jesus Christ as Lord and Master. So many things that we do deny Him. The way we pray, the way we worship, the way we teach people, the way we counsel people, the way we preach the gospel, the way we prophesy, the way we lead, the way we act, the way we behave. So much of that is a denial of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a denial that Jesus Christ is Lord and Master in our lives. And it's time for all that to change. And for that to change, we have to pray. Because this is not a battle that you battle by coming together and arguing with each other. This is a battle that has to be won in the heart. This is the battle that the Lord is waiting for us to be willing to enter into by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. So that the hard hearts of men will be turned to God. And remember, you can't get immersed in this darkness. When you pray, you always remain in the cross of Jesus Christ. You always remain in the victory of the Lamb. You must always understand that in the end, God's will prevail. That there will be no place for Satan. There will be no place for anything that stands against the knowledge of God. You must always pray in that understanding. Otherwise, you will be immersed in darkness and you will become a very bitter person. You will become defeated. So you must understand that all prayer must stand in the victory of the Lamb. No matter how much of darkness you may be seeing, no matter how much of darkness you may be feeling, it is the reality of the Word of God that God is triumphant. That God cannot be defeated. And you must seek out that witness that declares the victory of the Lamb. You must pray that witness. Amen. So we bring everything raised against the knowledge of God, right? To subjection. Okay, so it says, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power towards us who believe? Now that is where the whole problem is. We don't believe. We are not believing as we should. So pray that the church will believe. Pray that the born-again believer will go on to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he will not get caught up in the practice of churchianity. That he will not be caught up in the practice of the Christian religion. That he will instead be unveiled to the power of the living God. That he will be unveiled to the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That he will be unveiled to the magnificence of the bright morning star. That he will believe. If we don't believe, nothing is going to be done. God has chosen to subject all things to the name of Jesus through the body of Christ. So we must understand we have a responsibility. We are not here playing church. We are not here to make sure our churches are all full so that we have a form of as if we are so strong. When inside our hearts it's all empty. All right? So pray that there will be belief. Pray that there will be hope, because without hope there cannot be faith. And without faith, there cannot be the evidence of what God can do. Of God, what God wants to do. So pray that the eyes of the church will be opened in hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if we set our hope on Him, 1 John 3:3 says that we will be made pure even as He is pure. So the key is to pray that hope. Pray that hope. That we will set our hope on Him. So that we will have the right kind of faith. That our faith will be built in the substance of the Master's person, His nature, and His being. Hupostasis. The right kind of hupostasis. Alright? So we must understand that this belief. So if you are praying for members of your family, always understand that's where the battle is. In that belief area. Right? Right? That so many Christians are trapped in believing in the church rather than believing in God. That so many Christians are trapped in believing in their pastors rather than believing in God. That believing in pastors and believing in God is not the same thing. That believing in Moses and believing in God is not the same thing. That believing in the Bible and believing in God is not the same thing. That belief in God is the basis of everything.
The scripture will never open as the word of God until you are bowed down at his feet. Until you recognize and I recognize that he is the only one who can teach us the scriptures. It is his word. And his word can be explained only by him. And we should stop pretending as if we know how to explain the word of God. So it says here, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power towards us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, the Father's might. That means all this is the work of the Father. The church can only be the church if we allow the might of the Father invested in the power of the cross to come alive in us. I hope you understand that. The might of God is his sovereign might. No creature can partake of the might of God. We can only partake of the might of God through the power of the cross. Verse 20, which he brought about in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That's the other key, that Jesus must reign in us. That Jesus must come alive in his body. Pray that every stronghold that prevents the members of the body of Christ from recognizing this truth, that Jesus must reign in us. He must reign in our thoughts. He must reign in our lifestyles. He must reign in our desires. He must reign in our emotions. He must become the treasure of our heart. And all that is the work of God. So let's pray that in. Amen? Let's pray that in. Okay? Because the body of Christ is an awesome instrument of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See, in Christ, all of the blessings in the heavenly places are alive to us. See, the battle is in receiving Christ. The battle is in allowing Christ to reign. The battle is in allowing Christ to rule. And we must pray that everything that prevents Christ from reigning in his body be removed. That everything that prevents Christ from reigning in his body be removed. Because otherwise the body of Christ is never going to be a blessing. Because all the blessings in the heavenly places are tied to the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. But all of that is in Christ. Just as he chose us in him. Again, we are chosen in Christ. We are not chosen because we pray for a long time. We are not chosen because we worship wonderfully. We are not chosen because we know the word of God backwards and forwards. We are not chosen because we fast 40 days and 40 nights every 3 days. Right? We are chosen because we are in Christ. Right? We are in Christ. Right? Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. And that can only come as Christ Jesus comes alive in us. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to himself. Again, he repeats himself, through Jesus Christ to himself. So brethren, ultimately, let's pray that the name of Jesus be revealed in the church. It may sound very superficial, but honestly, we have not seen Jesus Christ as we should be seeing him. In 2,000 years of church history, we have not seen Jesus Christ the way he needs to be seen. We barely know him. We have barely seen him. We barely understand who he is. We barely know what can come forth in his name. What we have seen Even in the early church, it's just a mere beginning. There's so much more to understand. The later rains will be greater than the early rains. And we must understand all that stands in the name of Jesus. So how much do you and I value the name of Jesus? How often have you prayed for the name of Jesus to be revealed in your heart through your life? Oh Lord, give me a new car. Oh Lord, give me a new house. Oh Lord, give me another degree. Oh Lord, give me another wife. Yeah, that's what we pray. Tell me how that even resembles Jesus Christ. Tell me how that even resembles Jesus Christ. That we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intentions of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Again, freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Everything is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He must become the Beloved. Brethren, and that's where the battle is. That's why the battle in the end of the church is to end of the church age is to produce a bride. And a bride sees Jesus Christ as the Beloved. And that's the key. The key to all that God has given us. The key to us receiving and realizing the glory of the Father's grace. Right? Jesus must be the Beloved. We must pray that the body of Christ will fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That the leadership of the church must be built of people, men and women, who are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. I will repeat that. Pray that the body of Christ, the leadership of the body of Christ, both men and women, will be men and women who are in love with the Master. And pray that all those wolves in sheep's clothing will be removed in the name of Jesus. Again, only God knows who is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And let him do what is necessary. Let him do what is necessary. Because it is so necessary that the truth set our people free. It is so necessary that we discover the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is so necessary that we actually remember him through the witness that he has given us in blood, water, and spirit. It is so necessary for the entire body of Christ to function in the witness of the cross by the Holy Spirit. Shall we pray? Father, we pray that you will unveil the body of Christ as you have envisaged it to be, a glorious temple manifested in the glory of the bright morning star, a glorious temple built by the Holy Spirit, a glorious temple that is a new creation in Christ Jesus, a glorious temple, O God, infilled, O God, by the fullness of the living God, a glorious body, Father, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, a glorious body, O God, that knows the Lord Jesus Christ as the Beloved. A glorious body, O God, that stands in the true, full, and perfect knowledge of the Master. And as we go into this time of Holy Communion, Father, we pray that you will enable us to understand that the Passover of the body of Christ from darkness into light and more light into the mount of the Lord is depending on our remembrance of him. And that remembrance of him is a witness alive in us, a witness alive amongst us, a witness that must permeate every facet of our thoughts, our attitudes, our intents, our desires, our emotions, our character, our nature, our personalities, our spirits, our souls, our bodies, our hearts, our minds. That witness of blood, water, and spirit, that witness of the cross brought into us by the Holy Spirit, developed in us by the Spirit in the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is to be the remembrance. That is to be the memorial that you want to establish within us. And so we pray that everything that stands against the manifestation of this witness, let it be removed from the midst of the body of Christ, Father. That we will be set free, Father, from wolves and sheep's clothing, Father. That we will be set free from those who are corrupt and dishonest, Father, who betray you, Father, and who are misleading people by the millions, Lord. And so we pray, Father, that you will manifest in your own wisdom, in your own timing, according to your holy will, Father. Righteousness and holiness of the truth within the body of Christ, Father. Correct us, mold us, shape us, O God, and deliver us from all evil, Father, that we may be the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may be living members of his body, each one of us a blessing, Father, each one of us, O God, proclaiming the awesome treasure of Jesus alive in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, Father. Each one of us alive, Father, to the fact that you have blessed us, Father. You have called us to be a blessing. You have designed us so that you will fill us with all of your fullness, Lord. So as we read these words in the scripture, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come, Father. And let your kingdom be established within us, Father. Let your kingdom reality, Father, unite us as one body. That we will no longer be divided, Father, along the various lines that we have drawn out of man-made knowledge and zeal, Father. So we pray that you will remove those barriers, Father, and unite us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Unite us by the Holy Spirit. Unite us in the witness of blood, water, and Spirit. Unite us in the substance of his fullness, that we will be unveiled in one flesh as a people who belong to you, Father. So let your will be done in each one of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, we ask you to bless the church, Lord. Bless the church by bringing forth in us a realization of who Jesus is. Bless the church, O God, by manifesting us as a people who know how to function by the Holy Spirit. Bless the church in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Bless the church that we may be servants of the living God. Bless the church that we will truly be sons of the living God. Bless us in your righteousness unveiled in Christ Jesus. Make us, O God, a new creation. Create in us a clean heart. Create in us a pure heart. And have mercy on us for our weaknesses, Father. Deliver us from all sin and darkness. Heal us, O God, and manifest us, O Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, that you may take pleasure in all that is brought forth, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 15 and 16. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. We are a people of destiny. God has chosen us as a people who will discover the fulfillment of his word. And Jesus Christ fervently desires to partake of this Passover with us. And that's the communion God wants to establish through the witness of blood, water, and Spirit within you. It's an utmost intimacy. He wants to partake of this Passover. He wants to see this Passover unveil in your life. He's concerned with how it unveils. He's concerned with where it goes. Because he suffered to enable you to become partakers of this Passover. So we need to understand how important it is that he would say, as it's written in the King James Bible, with fervent desire I have desired. Why did Jesus fervently desire to see this Passover manifest? Because this Passover is predestined for fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Brethren, where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within us. Where is the church going to come alive to Jesus Christ? From within it. From our inward parts. So this Passover manifests from our inward parts. We must pray this Passover into the church, into the inward parts of the believer. That we will all come alive to the Lord Jesus Christ from our insides. Because the law of God says that we shall love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And all that is inside of us. And coming alive to that reality is a Passover. Because to make you and I love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is a miracle. It is the work of God. Jesus fulfilled the law. When Jesus comes alive in us, the Passover is manifested. When Jesus becomes our beloved, we will come to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the crucial reality we should be praying for in the church. That the body of Christ will understand. I mean, we may not be feeling like we want to love, or we may not be feeling like we can obey, but that is all beside the point. It is not based on what you and I feel. It's based on what Jesus Christ did for us through the cross. It is based on what we can receive by the Spirit in the name of Jesus. It is based on us making a choice that even though I do not understand how these awesome things will come to pass, I will walk in the right direction. I will walk in the hope that God will save me. I will set my hope on the Lord Jesus Christ, receive His substance, and see the evidence of His victory, see the evidence of His righteousness, see the evidence of His love, see the evidence of His faith. And if I can receive the faith and love of Jesus, all things are possible to the body of Christ. All things are possible to the body of Christ through Christ who strengthens each and every one of us. And there is no power in the universe that can defeat us. We've got to understand that. That's why we are celebrating Passover. We are celebrating our Passover in the faith and love of Jesus. We are celebrating our Passover in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. We are celebrating our Passover in the victory of the Lamb. We are celebrating this Passover in the courage and strength of the Lion and the Lamb. We are not celebrating this Passover in merely our strength. This Passover is a manifestation of grace upon grace upon grace. For of His fullness we have all received grace upon grace. So hear the word of the Lord. Respond to the word of God. Don't respond to your weaknesses. Respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't respond to your weaknesses. You have many weaknesses. I have many weaknesses. We can sit down and complain about all our weaknesses. But let's leave all those weaknesses and let's fix our hearts on Jesus. Let's understand that when He went to the cross, He manifested a faith and a love that can transform all our lives, that can overcome all our sins, that can overcome all our character flaws, that the answer to the body of Christ reaching its destiny is the faith and love of Jesus. And of His fullness, brethren, we have all received grace upon grace. So this Passover is a manifestation of grace. And that grace is defined in the faith and love of Jesus. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 14. So as we partake of Passover, as we partake of this Holy Communion, let us understand that Jesus is watching, He's waiting for us to respond to Him. That the Holy Spirit is waiting to hear our response. Amen. So Jesus said, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will lead you into all truth. And then He said in verse 14, John 16 verse 14, He will glorify Me. He will take of Mine and He will disclose it to you. So the Holy Spirit is waiting to bring the treasure of Jesus Christ alive in the body of Christ. Because that is His ministry. And Jesus said in John 16 verse 15, all that the Father has is Mine. You see how much God is waiting to bring forth into the body of Christ. And we are busy playing marbles. We are so busy discovering how smart we are. And we've missed the whole boat. And we've got to correct. We've got to correct and understand that everything God is going to do is going to be of the fullness of Jesus Christ. That the fullness of Jesus Christ must fill all in all. Shall we celebrate communion? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise, Father. As we celebrate this Passover, Father, and we know that this Passover is for the body of Christ. It is designed for the body of Christ. It is designed to unveil the body of Christ in the Mount of the Lord. Behold, in the Mount of the Lord it will be seen. In the Mount of the Lord it will be provided. And we are called to ascend into the Mount of the Lord so that we can discover all that you have provided for us in Christ Jesus. So teach us, Father, to set our hope on the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we remember him only through hope, Father. And from hope comes the substance of faith. And in the substance of faith, in the substance of the Master's fullness, comes the evidence of him. And when we can see all things in Jesus Christ, we can walk on water, Lord. And the powers of darkness will be destroyed. And that evidence is the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That evidence destroys the strongholds of the enemy. That evidence is the end result of all the spiritual warfare that stands against it. So enable us to know and understand. It is the knowledge of Jesus Christ that the battle is about, Father. So reveal your Son, Father, into the body of Christ. The body of Christ across the world and in the heavenly places. Both Jew and Gentile, Father. So as we partake of the prophetic dimensions, O God, of his sacrifice, Father, we ask you to sanctify these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we partake of him in his flesh and in his blood, that we will receive of him of his fullness, so that we will each be unveiled as living and growing members of the body of Christ. Each one of us, O God, will be a manifestation of his fullness. Each one of us will be a living response to the message of the cross. Each one of us will be a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we pray this prayer, Father, into the entire body of Christ, Father, across all of our denominations, Father. And we pray that you will deliver us from all evil and manifest us in your marvelous light, that we will be convicted deep within us, O God, by your Holy Spirit, that Jesus is the be-all and end-all of everything, Father. So release the knowledge of your Son into us. Release his fullness into us. Manifest his faith and his love into us, and unveil us as a new creation in Christ Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us by your Holy Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, unveiling us each as a new creation in Christ Jesus. So Father, we bless you for this creation to be unveiled in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father, we thank you for the living bread that came down out of heaven. Of his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So we pray for that realization to manifest in us, Father. We pray for that realization to unveil in us, O God, through revelation knowledge, Father. Revelation knowledge perfected and completed into us in the faith and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. That the substance of his faith will manifest, O God, our creation. That his love will manifest this creation. And we will unveil in the evidence of him as the beloved, Father. As we know him as the beloved, Father, we will be able to do all things, Father, in the name of Jesus. So we pray that you will create the body of Christ so that we will truly function in the beloved by the Holy Spirit, doing all things in the name of Jesus, knowing that all things in the name of Jesus will be fulfilled, Father. So we give you glory for the Lord Jesus alive in us and amongst us. We thank you for the privilege of being the body of Christ, charged with expressing his fullness, Father. So we celebrate the glory of your grace invested in each and every one of our lives and the lives of our brethren across the world and in the heavenly places, both Jew and Gentile, Father. We bless you and thank you in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. In the cup of his blood, Father, was manifested the faith and love of Jesus, Father, to enable all change and transformation within us. For the blood represents the highest form, O Lord, of the faith and love of Jesus. And because of that, Father, the blood is able to atone for us, Father, is able, O God, to manifest in us a living witness. And we pray for that witness of his faith and his love to cause our hard hearts to be transformed. So we pray for the blood of Jesus to permeate the fabric of the body of Christ, that all across the world, Father, the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus, will manifest through his blood to our inward parts, setting us free from every stronghold of stubbornness and pride, every stronghold of anger and malice, every stronghold of bitterness and hurt, every stronghold, O God, of selfishness and self-centeredness, every stronghold of lust and greed, every stronghold of disobedience and fear, Father, every darkness, O God, that stands against the knowledge of Thee. So we pray that through the blood of the Lamb, that the inward parts of the body of Christ will be penetrated in a living witness of the faith and love of Jesus, Father. And let that witness break every stronghold of our hard hearts, Father. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.